Skin in the Game: Hidden Asymmetries in Daily Life. Author: Nassim Nicholas Taleb. Skin in the Game. We can't separate knowledge or anything from contact with ground, and the contact with the real world is done via skin in the game, taking risks and having exposure to the world, and paying a price for its consequences, good or bad. The Greek called this pathemata mathemata, or guide your learning through pain. In the following lines, we'll discuss the importance of having skin in the game. We'll see how non-risk takers can cause collective damage, and how few virtuous risk takers can change the world. Let's try to understand the world by exploring justice, freedom, and rationality. Are warlords still around? The idea of skin in the game is woven into history. In the past, societies were run by risk takers, not risk transferers. The very status of lord has been derived from protecting others, trading personal risk for prominence. All warlords and warmongers were warriors themselves, with a few curious expectations. Less than a third of Roman emperors died in their beds, and hadn't they been old, they would have fallen in battle eventually. Skin in the game is an overall necessity. However, you can't get carried away with it. We can't apply it to every detail in sight, and it's every detail particular when consequences are contained. There's a difference between the interventionistas, making pronouncements that cause thousands of deaths overseas, and a harmless opinion voiced by a person in a conversation, or a pronouncement by a fortune teller used for therapy rather than decision making. Our message is to focus on those who are professionally slanted, causing harm without being accountable for it, by the very structure of their occupation. Silver beats gold. Hammurabi's law was posted on a basalt steel around 3,800 years ago in a central public of place in Babylon, so every literate person can read it, or rather, read it to others who couldn't read it. It contains 282 rules and deemed to be the first codification of our rule extent. The code establishes symmetry between people, so nobody can transfer hidden risk. For example, if a house collapsed causing the death of its owners, its builder shall be put to death. In that way, the builder will have skin in the game. The golden rule of the Hammurabi's law is to treat others the way you'd like them to treat you. But there's another rule, the silver rule, which says, don't treat others the way you'd not like them to treat you. The silver rule simply tells us to mind our business and not decide what's good for others, because we know with much clarity what is bad than what is good. And this makes it more robust than the golden rule. Effectively, there's no democracy without such an unconditional symmetry. By applying symmetry to relations between individuals and collective, we get virtue. The dominance of stubborn minority. The kosher population represents less than 0.3% of residents in the United States. Yet, it appears that almost all drinks in the market are kosher. Why? Because a kosher eater will never eat non-kosher food. But a non-kosher eater isn't banned from eating kosher food. This is how the minority rule works. All it takes is a stubborn minority group, with significant skin in the game, for the entire population to have to submit to their preferences. In fact, the entire growth of society, whether economic, moral, or otherwise, comes from a small number of people. The minority rule shows us how a small percentage of stubborn, virtuous people, with skin in the game in the form of courage, can drive society to function properly. As Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. How to legally own a person. It's no secret that corporations prefer people with families. Those with downside risk are easier to own, particularly when they're choking under a large mortgage. Total freedom for your employees is a very bad thing if you have a firm to run. In the same way, complete freedom is the last thing you want if you have an organized religion to run. That's why every organization wants a certain number of people associated with it to be deprived of a certain share of freedom. So, they own the employees by tweaking them to have some kind of skin in the game, giving them something to lose if they disobey authority. The best slave is someone you overpay and who knows it, so they're always terrified of losing their status. For example, multinational companies created the expat statute, in which they pay their diplomats an enormous amount of money so they would represent the firm abroad. The employees get addicted to high living standards, so they never disobey. The Lindy Effect. There are two ways things handle time. First, there's aging and perishability. Things die because they have a biological clock. Second, there's hazard, the rate of accidents. Putting both together, we get that when we're old and fragile, we can't handle accidents very well, whether an internal accident like a heart attack or an external one, falling off a ladder. On the other hand, some animals don't really age, like turtles and crocodiles. Statistically, if a 20-year-old crocodile has 40 more years to live, a 40-year-old one will also have 40 more years to live. We call this Lindy effect. That which is Lindy ages in reverse. Its life expectancy lengthens with time, conditional on survival. Things that have survived are hinting to us that they have robustness, conditional on being exposed to harm. So, there's no aging or death when it comes to ideas, books, technologies, procedures, institutions, and even political systems. A physical copy of War and Peace can age, but the book itself as an idea never will. Science versus scientism. The problem with science is that most researchers don't have skin in the game. Take macroeconomics, for instance. No one can tell if its theories would work, because they're not tested against time and survival. Science has a tendency, when unchecked, to evolve into a ritualistic self-referential publishing game. Anyone who has submitted a scholarly paper to a journal knows that they usually raise the odds of acceptance by making it more complicated than necessary. So it would look like science when it's actually scientism. Do not look the part. Actually, it's not just science. In any type of activity or business, divorced from the direct filter of skin in the game, the great majority of people know the jargon, look the part, and are intimate with cosmetic detail, but they're actually clueless about the subject. Say you had to choose between two surgeons of similar rank in the same department. One of them has a highly refined appearance. He looks like an actor you'd hire to play a part of a surgeon. The other one looks like a butcher, with a messed up coat and maybe even a gold tooth in his mouth. Which one would you choose? If I had to pick, I'd take the butcher any minute. Simply the one that doesn't look the part, conditional on having made some career success in his profession, and had to have much to overcome in terms of perception. If we're lucky enough to have people who don't look the part, it's thanks to the presence of some skin in the game. The contact with reality that filters out incompetence as reality is blind to looks. Risk and rationality. With the same reasoning, rationality doesn't have to look like rationality. Understanding the Lindy effect, we know that survival comes first, truth, understanding, and science later. Only evolution knows if the wrong thing is really wrong, provided there's skin in the game to allow for selection. An idea survives if it's a good risk manager, that is, not only doesn't harm its holders, but favor their survival. Courage and precaution aren't opposites. When I sampled 90 people in seminars and asked them, "What's the worst thing that can happen to you?" 88 people answered, "My death." So I asked, "Is your death the death of your children? Is your death plus the death of your children, nephews, cousins, cats, dogs, or even hamsters, worse than just your death?" Of course they said yes. So I asked, "Are all of these deaths plus all humanity worse?" Unless you're a narcissist or a psychopath, your worst case scenario isn't limited to your loss of life. You and I have a finite time on the shelf, so our survival is not as important as to the survival of things that do not have a limited life expectancy, such as mankind or planet Earth. Hence, the more systematic things are, the more important survival becomes. Thus, it's okay to be courageous and risk one's life to save a collection of kids from drowning. But a foolish gambler is not committing an act of courage, especially if they're risking other people's funds, or if they have a family to feed. Selfish courage is not courage. Nevertheless, there's a difference between successful people and really successful people. Really successful people say no to almost anything. They filter opportunities that they find and pick the best ones with least tail risks. For there are zillions of ways to make money, solve problems, and even end world hunger without taking risks with unknown possibilities of blowing up. Conclusion. Life is an adventure of sacrifice and risk-taking. If you don't have your skin in the game, your adventure is not really an adventure. Skin in the game is mostly about justice, honor, and sacrifice. Applied as a rule, it reduces the effect of the following divergences that grew with civilizations: those between actions and cheap talks, consequences and intention, practice and theory, honor and reputation, expertise and charlatanism, concrete and abstract, ethical and legal, genuine and cosmetic, science and scientism, quality and advertising, commitment and singling, and centrally, collective and individual.